Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-wah! I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thanks for joining us. Here's one of my favorite quotes. It's by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He was a pastor in Nazi Germany during World War II. Quote, silence in the presence of evil is itself evil. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act. Unquote. Troops, I think the abandoning of people and equipment in Afghanistan and forcing troops to take a shot they oppose for religious reasons and other kinds of stuff are evil actions that fall into this category. Okay, joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is Marine vet Skip Coriel. What are you planning for Christmas, Skip?
December is a great month at the Coriel clan here, because what we do is we pick out like 20 different Christmas movies. And we just, like, every day we watch a different Christmas movie leading all the way up to Christmas Day. And, of course, I have two favorite Christmas movies. One is It's a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart. Everybody knows that. But then the second one, it's a very close second, maybe even first, would be Die Hard with Bruce Willis. Just a fantastic Christmas show.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
What do you mean, okay? It's a great Christmas show. We should take a poll, like a survey with the listeners, because, it is just an awesome. I mean, there's guns, there's action, all kinds of great stuff.
Listeners, there you go. If you'd like to voice your vote here, please send it in, denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com. Okay, here's what we have for you today. On news and comments by the Colonel, I'm going to discuss the enemy of ours, China. Then Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will share his warrant wisdom. Next, Kurt Kelia will discuss Kelia Tactical. He trains police and military in breaching, including armored vehicles. Then author Gary Grossman will discuss his amazing novel, Red Chaos. It's a hard book to put down. Then Joe Giorello will discuss the book he designed to help boys want to read. They're Great Battles for Boys. And I'll shoot the bull with veteran Warren Northrup. Hey, no Service Academy football games were played last week, so there's nothing to discuss this week. And this week is the Army-Navy game, the most important game of the year.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. Well, now it's time for news and comments by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom. Of course, we'll start with the news. What's first, Skip?
Well, Colonel, our military is still forcing its members to get the COVID jab with virtually no exceptions, despite the fact that the jab is not fully tested. Well, for 2 years, the Biden-Obama administration and Dr. Fauci covered up the fact that over 18 million people were injured so badly by their experimental Pfizer and Moderna test injections for the Wuhan virus that they had to be hospitalized. According to the CDC's own internal data, 7.7% of the 230-plus million Americans who were injected with the experimental test injection were seriously injured, requiring hospitalization. In the past 100 years, if a new vaccine resulted in 25 injected persons being injured, responsible FDA medical directors always immediately terminated the vaccine rollout.
Okay, our government has known this data for years, and it's still forcing the jab on our military and likely other people too, like medical folks. How can there be any justification for this? How can anyone in the system who isn't fighting this have any degree of integrity or honor? They can't.
And the Biden administration just issued a license to Chevron to drill for oil in communist Venezuela. They've lifted sanctions on the communist regime to drill more oil. The Office of Foreign Assets Control issued the license and allowed Chevron to drill for oil in Venezuela in a partnership with state-owned Petróleos de Venezuela. To get this deal, Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro and the Unitary Platform, an opposition party, agreed to carry forward a humanitarian program and to conduct free and fair elections within the country. Institute for Energy Research Senior Vice President Dan Kish said, quote, "What they're really trying to do is drive more and more of the U.S. oil industry offshore into the arms of other countries," unquote. He followed up by saying that he didn't blame Chevron for taking the deal. He says it is tough to drill for oil in the U.S. However, we know that the U.S. has reserves of untapped oil that we have yet to begin to explore.
2 years ago, our nation was oil independent. We were exporting oil. Now we're trying to buy it from Russia, Venezuela, and other communist countries. If our enemy controls our access to a vital resource like energy, then we can find ourselves easily defeated. We see the results of this horrible new energy policy in the price of gas at the pump. We need to return to the policies of pumping oil that we had 2 years ago. Oh, and does anyone believe that a communist nation will have free and fair elections? God help us.
The Central Intelligence Agency is looking for Russians who are disgusted with the Ukraine war to recruit them as spies, said David Marlow, the agency's deputy director of operations. Marlow told an audience at George Mason University's Hayden Center in Fairfax County, Virginia, that Putin was at his best moment the day before he invaded Ukraine, because he had all the power that he is ever going to have. He squandered every single bit of that, Marlow said, before adding, "We're looking around the world for Russians who are as disgusted with Putin's actions as we are, because we're open for business." His comments were first reported by the Wall Street Journal, which pointed out similarities to comments from former CIA officers who have said that disaffection with the war in Ukraine has provided fertile ground for recruiting disgruntled military officials, oligarchs who have been financially impacted by the war, and those who have fled the country. Marlow's comments come after a top British intelligence official revealed that European countries have expelled over 400 Russian officials suspected of being spies this year.
I'm glad that we've joined other nations in recruiting unhappy Russians. It's hard to imagine how anyone living in Russia right now could be happy with anything.
Well, Colonel, maybe we can make, you know, something good come out of this anyways.
Yeah. Can we do something for them for Christmas?
We could. A controversial tweet posted by the United Nations is leading to sharp criticism from advocates for freedom of speech and human rights. The UN posted a tweet that stated, "Words can be weapons. Hate speech online can lead to cruelty and violence in real life. Get tips for how you can say no to hate." The post included a link to a page on the UN website that goes into detail on what it describes as hate speech. The UN claims that especially when communication takes place online, it can sometimes be hard to assess when a comment is meant as hate speech. It adds that it can feel overwhelming to deal with speech it considers to be obviously hateful content. They scold readers to take a stand, even if you are not personally the victim of hate speech. In its effort to enlist readers in rooting out disfavored positions, it instructs, quote, "To detect false and biased information, including hate speech propaganda, be sure to check the content's origin with the help of search engines, fact-checking tools, and other reliable sources," unquote. The UN's anti-free speech message led many to question why the U.S. continues to fund the globalist organization that doesn't value the basic human rights protected by our Constitution. The term hate speech has no legal meaning under U.S. law. The Supreme Court has regularly and consistently ruled that even offensive and hateful speech is protected against government interference under the First Amendment.
Words that are acceptable to some individuals can be upsetting to others. In today's world, where many are looking for ways to be offended, worrying about how others might take your words truly does take away your freedom of speech. The UN seems to me to be a valueless organization. Maybe we should stay a member, but we should really cut back the financial support we pour on them. Oh, and I do support ending name-calling. And I don't mind saying Merry Christmas to you.
Colonel, be careful. Don't hurt the UN's feelings, okay?
Okay. Can I say beat Navy?
That you can do.
And that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure that our nation is well-run and on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing, but we can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you, even if you're not a veteran, in getting involved in getting our nation back on track. Working with them is one of the things I do. Check CV4A.org. That's CV4A.org. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel and we'll enjoy some war and wisdom. Then we'll talk breaching armored vehicles and other things with Kurt Kalia. At ease, troops, take a break.
Fresh, flash, frozen from the American farmer every time. PatriotFoods.com, hit the shop now button. You're supporting a veteran family in need every time you shop. Look at us online, see how we give back. for the servicemen and women of this great country. We are fighting for the American farmer. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM, 10% off today, folks. Shop now.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I buy Patriot Foods. It's great. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel with your home defense tip of the week. Criminals love the cover of darkness. It hides them and provides a tactical advantage and cover for them to launch an attack. Avoid dark alleys and unlit parking lots. When possible, always park under a light and avoid areas with a reputation for high crime. Remember, if you can't see the bad guy, then you can't avoid his ambush. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
Nearly 30% of veterans have disabilities caused by military service. At Berry Law, we fight to make sure that every veteran receives full compensation for their injuries. Our team of attorneys, veterans, and former VA employees have helped veterans recover over $100 million in back pay from inadequate VA decisions. For a free consultation, call 888-883-2483.
Do you have a story inside you yearning to come out? As a self-published author, you are free to creatively distribute your book online or using your own professional connections. White Feather Press will publish your manuscript and set up online distribution, allowing the author to retain all copyright and distribution rights as well as all profits. Check out White Feather Press at publishyourdream.com. White Feather Press, reaffirming faith in God, family, and country. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. It is 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to Frontlines of Freedom all across America. Troops, did you know that American farmers are going out of business because folks are buying foreign food? It's not good for our nation's security if we can't feed ourselves. We need to maintain our food independence by buying food grown in America. Patriot Foods is not emergency food. It's food produced by our farmers. I love it and eat it. Use the promo code FREEDOM and save 10%. Check patriotfoods.com. That's patriotfoods.com. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. It's been clear for a long time that China is doing everything they can to become the world's major power, and that includes maintaining their absolute dictatorship over all their people, even ones living abroad, and tearing down our nation every way they can, and they're doing it in many, many ways. Oh, they have some challenges at home. Chinese universities are sending students away from school as the ruling Chinese Communist Party attempts to stop protests after crowds infuriated by its draconian zero COVID restrictions. And they called for dictator Xi Jinping to step down in what's the biggest show of public dissent in decades. Some of these harsh measures were eased in what was described as a possible effort to lessen public angst following days of protests in at least eight cities. Numerous videos of protests against Chinese COVID-19 measures have been shared on social media. Tsinghua University argued that their actions are protecting students from COVID-19. It's clear that shuffling students to their distance hometowns will likely result in fewer protests. We'll never likely know to what extent China is brutalizing its citizens in the wake of these protests. The country's regime engages in routine censorship, banning social media platforms such as Facebook, while promoting applications that assist in the agenda of controlling information flow, such as the infamous largely Chinese-controlled WeChat. A spectacle was made by the government after a journalist working for BBC was arrested and beaten by Chinese police as he covered the protests against the country's zero COVID policy. Why isn't our government supporting the protesters in China and in Russia and Iran? There has been at least brief spoken support for them. How about bringing it up every day in the UN and other agencies and making a big deal of it regularly? We should be openly supporting these brave souls who will openly protest against an evil dictatorship, shouldn't we? And, as we've mentioned before, China has a police station here in the United States, in New York City, in the Chinatown area. The Chinese government says it's there to help overseas Chinese residents and tourists with everyday problems. Well, according to the Spanish human rights group, Safeguard Defenders, this is part of a global chain of 54 offices on five continents linked to the Chinese dictatorship. Well, who else would police be working for but the Chinese dictatorship? Hey, this report, also supported by Voice of America, says the centers run, quote, persuasion to return operations. This can include tracking down a target's family in China to pressure them through intimidation, harassment, detention, or imprisonment to persuading their family member to return to China voluntarily. Hey, do you think this might also persuade people to spy on our nation at their jobs or otherwise? And speaking of what's going on in the U.S., our Federal Communications Commission finally brought the hammer down on communications technology manufactured by Chinese firms Huawei and ZTE Telecom. The FCC unanimously issued a sweeping ban on the importation or sale of several technological projects deemed, quote, an unacceptable risk to national security. Restrictions were also implemented on certain Chinese surveillance systems. This move to protect national security began under former President Trump, and the Biden administration has been slow to move forward with restrictions. FCC Chairwoman Jessica Rosenworcel said the agency is working to protect our national security by ensuring that untrustworthy communications equipment is not authorized for sale or use within our borders. In addition to Huawei and ZTE, China-based Hytera, Hikvision, and Dahua are also affected. These five were barred by Congress in 2018 from supplying equipment to federal agencies over security concerns. Under the new regulations, private entities are no longer permitted to import the items to the U.S. Most companies had no response, but Hikvision condemned the action. The firm claimed that its products pose no security risk, and banning its wares will lead to cost increases for small businesses, schools, and individual consumers. These new regulations fall in line with actions taken by the UK, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. All determined that the use of Huawei's tech products poses substantial security risk, particularly to the latest 5G networks. Despite President Biden's recent meeting with Zeiss, it's critically important for the White House to understand that China is not an ally. At best, it's a trading partner, and more realistically, it's a military rival for which security concerns must outweigh the desire for inexpensive tech. We need to stop buying from China and get all Chinese businesses out of our nation. They are our enemy. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom, and now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have to share this week, Roland?
Earlier this month, the world's first sixth-generation military aircraft, the U.S. Air Force's B-21 Raider, was rolled out in a nighttime ceremony, contrived to keep many of the details of the flying wing aircraft difficult to see. The B-21 looks a lot like the B-2, but there is way more technology in the new B-21. The new aircraft has a longer range than any other bomber in history, and there's 50 years of low observability technology that has gone into the B-21, and even the most sophisticated air defense systems will struggle to detect it. It is both a conventional and nuclear delivery platform, and it will carry nuclear gravity bombs as well as future long-range standoff missiles. And the Army has announced the winner in the competition to replace the Black Hawk helicopter. Bill Textron's Valor Tiltrotor has won the Future Long-Range Assault Aircraft Competition, which is one of the key components of the Army's future force. To me, the Valor looks much more like a small V-22 Osprey than a helicopter. It has twin rotors that rotate for either straight-line flight or vertical takeoff and landing. The initial contract, it's worth $1.3 billion. However, follow-on production contracts really could put this program in the range of more like $70 billion over the lifetime. So there we have it, two new aircrafts coming online in the near future. But we have a 2023 compromise National Defense Authorization Act that is likely going to pass before the end of the year. Now, I'm sure most of the headlines and debate will be on the change in policy, which will roll back the COVID-19 vaccine mandate. That policy has led to nearly 2 million troops getting the vaccine, but it's also sparked many legal battles and thousands of service members have been booted for refusing to get the shot. Now, the 4,408-page bill, it actually touches every part of the Pentagon, but for the Air Force, it carries some major implication for the future of that service's fleet of aircraft. The Air Force has been trying to retire a number of aircraft for years, and this bill just may allow them to finally retire some of those A-10s, KC-135s, and E-8s. However, it also includes a section that blocks the Air Force from retiring any F-22 fighters until at least 2027, maintaining the fleet to at least 184 Raptors. The bill would also authorize increases in procurement for some other aircraft. However, funding for those still need to be appropriated, and this bill doesn't provide for that. For Frontline to Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Hey, thanks, Roland. I always enjoy your comments. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll discuss Delia Tactical. This is cool stuff. Then we'll learn about the great novel, Red Chaos. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. You're standing tall with the Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for sit-ups. Start with 50, take a break, do another 50, then stand at ease.
HealthVet.net is here to help all veterans, active military, and families. HealthVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with their everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, discounted services, or information on retirement benefits, financial resources, and much more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all your needs at HealthVet.net. HealthVet.net. Never forget, never forgotten.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. Troops, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's an honor to welcome Kurt Delia to the show. Kurt spent many years in law enforcement. I've often said cops are not our brothers and sisters in arms, but they are our first cousins in valor, as they daily put their lives on the line protecting people they don't even know. Kurt learned a lot about breaching and breaking into things, and he now has a business where he trains military and police folks and others just to do that. That's interesting. So welcome to the show, Kurt.
Thank you for having me, sir. I'm honored to be able to speak to you.
Start by talking about your time in law enforcement. What attracted you to that profession?
Well, originally, when I got out of school, I wanted to join the military, but I'm a cancer survivor. So I had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma and battled that for a few years as a young kid. And of course, the military was not really an option at that point. So I decided that I wanted to be a police officer. So I went to college for 2 years, played football, and went through the police academy. And that's kind of where it started.
Well, that sounds awfully reasonable. And then you served mostly in the sheriff's department. Talk to us about what you did in law enforcement.
Okay. Well, I started early on in the 80s as a reserve volunteer police officer and a police dispatcher part-time. And then after I went through the academy, I became a full-time police officer and worked about 20 years for a sheriff's office. I worked narcotics task force undercover at a state level. And then, of course, I was a SWAT team member or ERT team member for about 18 years. I served as not only the team breacher, but also as the team commander for 6 years in the Western Michigan region. And then after I left early from the sheriff's office with about 20 years in, and I went to work as a private military contractor, and I did contracts for the U.S. Army Special Operations Command.
So you've played with about everybody in uniform. Is that what you're saying?
I did. I was really fortunate and honored to be able to spend time with not only law enforcement personnel over my career, but also personnel that worked for the Army, soldiers and troops. And I did a lot of pre-deployment train-ups for troops that were heading to Afghanistan and spent a lot of time at Fort Bragg, which I'm sure you were there quite often in your career.
I'm familiar with the place, yes.
I'm sure you are. So what I did was I took skill sets that I learned as a contractor and I combined them with my experience in law enforcement, and I developed several training programs and products for police and security forces, both active shooter breaching equipment and armored vehicle and ground mobility operations training pieces for SWAT teams and public safety.
Okay. Well, it sounds like when you were in law enforcement and suddenly when you got into SWAT teams and things like that, you suddenly found a need to do that because that's not something that they normally train you in, is it?
Well, I had went to, in the 2000s, early 2000s, I went to a debriefing on the shooting at Virginia Tech University. And I remember hearing stories about how the responding officers couldn't gain entry into the building. And it was there were no ground level windows that were easily accessed. The doors, the double steel commercial doors were secured from the inside. There was no way they could get a vehicle up to the doorway. It was an elevated porch area. And when I heard that story, I thought to myself, well, what do I have? What do I have in my squad car, my patrol car, that would allow me to gain entry into a building during an active shooter event? And I really didn't have much. I mean, we had a full complement of tools and equipment and breaching gear in our SWAT vehicles. But as a patrol officer, I really didn't have anything. So I went home and I made a tool. I made a tool that I felt would be functional, that would have several things on it that I would want as a breacher or as a responder. And I literally welded this thing together. And unbeknownst to my sergeant at the time, I was actually carrying it in the trunk of my car. That wouldn't have passed inspection. So I would remove it before inspection, put it back in after inspection. But I started using it on accidents. I started using it on medical response calls. And all of a sudden, other officers, state troopers, deputy sheriffs, city officers started asking me, what is that and where can we get one? And that was kind of the genesis of the Dahlia Raptor tool. That's where it started.
Wow. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Kurt Dahlia. So, you know, that's just logical. You ran into a situation. You didn't want to find yourself like that situation where you couldn't get in something. You made something you thought would work. It did work, at least most of the time anyway. I mean, it's one thing if nobody's ever heard of it before, you run into it and you're not sure what to do. But after you found out about it, it sort of makes sense that you would prepare yourself should you run into something, right?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, I didn't develop it for a business model. I just simply wanted another piece of equipment in my toolbox. And
sure.
I thought it would be very cheap insurance for me and for other people that are with me on these calls. So that's kind of where it took off from.
Well, you know, my experience, and my son is a police officer getting ready to retire, I think. And I've been shot at a lot more than he has, but he's vulnerable to being shot at more than I ever was. Because the only time I was vulnerable to be shot at was when I was in a combat zone. Every day he puts on his uniform, he's vulnerable to being shot at. And that doesn't necessarily mean hit, but we both have the same kind of challenges, and we're supposed to be using our brains and being prepared because we're there to protect American citizens.
That's right.
And you know, if all I was supposed to do was do what I was told to do when I was told to do it, you don't need to be very bright to do that. But when you're saving people's lives and protecting people, you've got to be able to use your head. So that sounds like it was probably interesting, fun, and a little pleasurable when you found out it worked.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a test. The first several shifts that it was used, it was actually a test. And when it didn't fail and it worked fine, it looked horrible. I mean, it looked like something from a Viking movie, but it's since been refined and looks a lot prettier now. So,
well, you know, when you look at us, we aren't going to be pretty anyway. So why would you expect other than our brides, anything that, you know, so this led you to thinking about getting out of when you got out of law enforcement, creating a business that would permit you to do what you're doing now. That's where it came from, right?
Yes, sir. For the most part, it started as a small, you know, hobby business,
yeah,
on the side, and then I when I went to work for two different companies for the under contract for the Department of Defense, I when I came home after being gone for quite some time, I took those skills, combined that with the tool that I had made, and kind of made a small business model, and it. That was about 14 years ago.
And by golly, it seemed to have worked, right?
So far, so good. We're having some difficulties with the foundry industry right now with small companies in Michigan. But for the most part, the Generation 4 is coming out within the next 2 months. And we have a face-to-face with the Marine Corps, which is a very good thing, good opportunity.
Well, you know, and certainly breaking into things, it's not something you necessarily ever want to do, but if you have to do it, you need to get in fast. And therefore, anything that makes that happen more effectively is a good thing. So I see what you're talking about, and we'll talk about what you developed when we come back. There's more to discuss about breaking into things, and Kurt is going to stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom Troops. Thanks for joining us for push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do, well, most days. Then take a break, but stay in the area. I'll be right back. Troops America has changed, and if you're like me, you'd defend yourself and your family if necessary. But as noble as this is, experts recommend never speaking to the police without an attorney, even if you're the victim. That's why I'm a member of U.S. Law Shield, the very best self-defense insurance that I've found. They provide unlimited attorney coverage for civil, criminal, appeal, and retrial at a very affordable price. Check uslawshield.com and use the code FRONTLINES. That's uslawshield.com.
We were instrumental in passing the VA Mission Act so more veterans could have options and freedom in their health care. We're leading the charge to end America's endless wars, bringing thousands of troops home and stopping trillions of dollars from being wasted. Our key to success? You. We bring your voice to our nation's leaders so we can all have a better future. We are Concerned Veterans for America, the voice of veterans for freedom and prosperity. Visit cv4a.org to learn more and join the movement.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom. And we're continuing our conversation with Kurt Delia about Delia Tactical International. So we sort of led up to the fact that you had developed some skills. And when you got out of the law enforcement, you worked for other people. But you ultimately created a business, which is what you're doing now. And it's Delia Tactical International. And it can't be only about breaking into things. So sort of give us an overview of this.
So, yes, sir. Again, back to the inception of that tool, it was designed for rescue. But if we look at potential traumatic scenes as a firefighter, we not only want to try and concern ourselves with gaining entry into a structure, but also potentially conducting search and rescue operations with structural collapse, and also being able to get out of structures. And so it's just a handy multi-tool that works for those things. But we teach other things. We have a lot of vehicle-related training programs that we run, specifically tactical off-road mobility and armored vehicle, MRAP vehicles that, you know, I knew when I came back to the law enforcement side of things as a contractor that I knew a lot of units and police departments would be acquiring MRAPs and armored vehicles because typically they're not budgeted for that. So being a young cop back in the early 90s, you know, we would spend our time on perimeters during barricaded situations, getting shot at and hiding behind trees And thank God my jurisdiction has a lot of trees where I am in national forest. So we got a lot of cover. But so for years, we didn't, you know, police agencies didn't have armored vehicles. Just the big agencies had those. And what that 1033 program did is allowed smaller agencies who were doing everything with nothing, literally, to be able to gain access to armored vehicles to use for protection. So that's one of the training models that we teach is a armored vehicle program and how to safely operate them, how not to make the mistakes that would cause casualty or injury. I know, you know, historically we've lost probably more troops and soldiers and Marines in armored vehicle mishaps and rollovers in the last 5 years than we have in combat. And that is my focus when I teach vehicle mobility and armored vehicle operations.
Well, you know, that's really true. Military, well, this is true for law enforcement too. Being in combat, being shot at is dangerous, but the way that you get ready is by training, and that training is dangerous too. Flying a plane really fast and low is how you get ready for combat, but it's dangerous. Shooting, explosions, breaking into things. And if you aren't good at it, and those skills are perishable, you may be good at it this year. If you don't do it for 5 years, you won't be that good at it. Your brain will tell you, your ego will tell you you are, but you're not. And that's the kind of thing that I see you helping people get through. Am I right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, we try and mitigate ahead of time. So things as simple as, and these are things that a lot of maybe tactical teams or police departments don't necessarily spend a lot of time discussing or training on, but even the threat of electrocution in an armored vehicle is very large because they're tall vehicles, and a lot of times you're out in emergencies or you're out in late hours of the night. And if you happen to run that vehicle into a electrical line, electrocution can occur pretty rapidly. Also, the rollover factor with armored vehicles, they're high center of gravity. And what happens is the core of the armored vehicle, it tweaks just enough to where it traps personnel inside. And we know this historically because we've lost literally hundreds of troops in this manner, both from a rollover with a subsequent fire, and also with a water element being a drowning or suffocation in the vehicle. So these are the tasks and things that I focus on when I spend time with these agencies.
And I'll bet that they're really glad to have that training because it's probably not something they get often, and therefore they probably appreciate it, particularly since that's your long suit. You're not just talking about it as, hey, once I did this.
That's right, sir.
If you're going to learn something that's vital, it's life-saving, you want to learn it from somebody who really knows what he's doing, ideally. Better not that than none at all. But so I would suspect you stay busy. Am I right?
I do, sir. Yeah, I travel quite a bit. I visit different states and different training organizations and conduct training classes, and I've been to the border in Texas and trained Border Patrol. I've been to Los Angeles and trained the Sheriff's Office. I've been to New York, New Jersey, been to the Canadian border up in northern Dakotas. I spent a lot of time traveling and training. And it's, people in a profession do not know what they don't know. And unfortunately, a lot of people, you know, they're confident in what they do and they're very good at what they do. But when you're talking some of these training pieces that I teach, they're kind of outside the normal realm. Uh-huh. They're not part of a conditional normal training matrix. They're kind of fringe, or what I would call a niche. And they don't think about them until they have either a casualty or an incident. So I've had very good success. I knew there was a need for it, and I most certainly feel that it's helped mitigate injury and casualty over the years in our domestic law enforcement agencies.
Yes, sir. Talk about the tool that you made that you had trouble getting manufactured now. Talk about that for a minute.
So, Delia Raptor tool is a single handheld tool. It has a small battering ram on the end. It has a small sledgehammer, but it's a narrow sledgehammer. So it's actually designed to punch through concrete and brick. It has an axe on another side, has a cutting axe. And then on the far end, bottom, has a pry fork. And it weighs about 18.5 pounds, roughly. So it's the head and the fork are made in a foundry. And then our facility here in Michigan, in Muskegon, Michigan, they assemble the handle, and then we do the powder coating right at that same facility. And we ship them everywhere from there. The Uvalde shooting in Texas, after that occurred, we sold all of our inventory rapidly within 8 weeks. And then, of course, we were having an issue with the foundries right now because we're not a big company. We're a small company, and we can't compete. So the labor force and the raw materials go to the big clients first. And my stuff gets kind of put on the back shelf, unfortunately. So we have changed gears. We're going to we're in the process of redesigning the tool. And we're actually going to be machining the tool now rather than relying on a foundry.
Okay. So that'll get it back on the market sometime sometime next year.
Well, I'm guessing within the next 2 months, we will have working tested prototypes that will be taken with us to Camp Lejeune.
Kurt, this is awesome. And I know you're saving lives, and more in particularly, you're helping the police and military people whose life it is to protect, giving them a tool that they didn't have before. How can people get in touch with you? If whether it's a police department or whatever, how can they reach you?
Pretty easy to find me. Delia Tactical International is on the internet. I've got my email info@deliatactical.com and our phone number 231-519-0170. Not real hard to find. Just a real quick Google search, you'll be able to find the company.
Kurt Delia. It's Delia, D-E-L-I-A, Delia Tactical. This is awesome. Kurt, thank you. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for all the ways you have served our nation and the way you're serving now. I'm proud to call you a friend. I'm glad we're friends.
Thank you, sir. It's been my honor to be able to spend some time with you. Thank you.
This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour reviewing the action-based novel Red Chaos. Then Joe Giarello will share about how he got boys to start reading. And then I'll shoot the bull with Air Force veteran Warren Hutchinson. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our self-defense report. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for Jumpin' Jacks. Do 50 good ones, grab some protein, rehydrate with water, and finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.